My name is Peter Tomas.
Chris Burnham.
With James Tynan IV.
Mark Wade.
Patrick Gleason.
With Scott Snyder.
And you're listening to...
Nerd Management!
Welcome to Nerd Management. I am one of your hosts, Warner Swokes. And these are my friends, Alec and Rob. They're already taken, but they are cracked at Fortnite, my guy.
Okay, so I just saw that TikTok today because I there was a couple of my friends that were quoting it. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, well, I listen to a lot of TikTok, so that's kind of what it is.
Have you seen the new walkie slush thing? That thing bleeding. You know
what I mean? I haven't seen that one.
Walkie slush.
For me, it's all that Fortnite kid and the can't make a wife out of a hoe. Man, it's I was talking. My sister was in from Florida this week, and I was talking to her, and I said, you know, the only problem with TikTok is that the trends sometimes they don't last long enough. Like, I'm so attached to these trends right now. They've been going on for a week, and I know any day now they're just going to drop right off.
Well, and I think some trends probably stick around a little bit longer than they should. Like, a lot of the dance trends, I think, like, I don't... And I know it's not for me, but, like, they're not good dances. You know what I mean? They're all trash. Right. They're all garbage.
For sure.
Rob, you're looking nice. I like the length of your hair, my guy.
Thank you. It's about to go away.
Oh, yeah?
Sarah's going to cut my hair again.
Very nice. Very nice. You're just going to shave it?
No, because I look stupid when my hair is super short, so.
You never know.
I do know. I lived that life for 20 years.
Well, that's true.
The bald head is where it's at.
You know what? No, it's not.
My dad asks me every time when he sees me get just the tiniest little bit of stubble. He's like, oh, hey, you growing your hair back? No, never. I'm just lazy. I'm so busy that I can't even take time to shave my own head.
I like I like the way that you look with your head shaved. I think ever since you've done it, I think it's been a pretty big improvement. And Rob, I think ever since you've started growing your hair out, I think it's definitely
Thank you. Rob and I had to switch places. It was what the universe demanded.
You're not wrong.
So, it's been crazy news. I mean, just the returns alone this last week have been insane. We got Sting. We got Boba Fett. We got the McRib. We got Alfred Maloney.
Maloney, you fucking dunce. Molina.
I knew I was going to goof it up. Yeah, Alfred Molina as Doc Ock again. It's going to be, man, 2020 was a dirt ball of a year, but 2021 is going to be cracked.
At Fortnite. Yeah, no, my guy. Yeah, 2021's gonna, I mean, we can only hope it's gonna be nice, you know, who knows, but yeah.
How are you feeling, bud?
I'm feeling okay. I was telling Rob last week, I guess, when we were gonna try to record and it just didn't happen, but like, I've legitimately lost like my taste and smell. I've got my taste back a little bit, but like my smell, so I don't even get to enjoy the McRib, you know.
Oh no, man, I didn't even think about that, but this would be the worst time for those symptoms. Yeah. Like the McRib is here and I can't imagine.
Yeah. So, you know, just a reminder, if you're not wearing a mask, wear a mask. Cause that second wave ain't no joke. So
I'm ready to get vaccinated, my guy, as soon as that's out there.
For sure. But no, I'm feeling a lot better. Luckily we had really mild cases, especially me, obviously, because I didn't come into contact with the original carrier. Like, it was kind of, you know, and
yeah,
I,
you got, you got it kind of secondhand.
Right. And like, even though I'm a bigger guy, I don't have any pre-existing conditions or, you know, anything like that. So, like, it, you know, I got a fairly mild case. Jasmine got it a little bit worse, but she's doing okay.
Did she have all the body aches? That's what, dude, I keep hearing that the body aches are like the worst, that like your bones are trying to separate.
Yeah. I'll say like Thanksgiving Day and I guess that whole Thanksgiving weekend was probably the worst. And then actually I felt pretty okay for like the better part of like a week. And then last Sunday, I woke up and I had like a really high fever and body aches again. And so I just rested that whole day and then I was fine. But like we kind of did some research and body aches and just extreme fatigue and exhaustion are just like a lasting effect. So it'll be something that we just probably have to deal with for a little while. But yeah, it sucks because and I'm not like this isn't a sob story or anything, but it sucks because like we didn't do anything wrong. Like we didn't get it at like a bar or we didn't get it. Jasmine was forced to go to work, and that's where she got it from a guy who doesn't believe in masks and doesn't wear them, and supports people who doesn't, you know, wear masks. And so, and then she just brought it home from there. And so, I mean, it shows you how quick it can. Like, she was exposed to this person for literally probably 5 minutes, and
wow.
You know,
from there, wow.
And he. They went, so they have a team of like 20 people at her work, and they went from having zero cases to having 8 cases from one person.
Wow. He was a super spreader.
Yeah, he was. What'd you say, Rob?
It's almost half the staff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Super spreaders played by Kevin Nash.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
At the end of Turtles 2, and he's like, "Oh." Anyway,
I'll tell you what the hardest part's been though, like, because we are now, you know, used to obviously quarantining and being in our house and everything, but I could still record the podcast, or I could still play video games with you guys, or whatever.
Yeah.
When we were sick though, like I didn't feel like doing anything.
Right. Right.
Like, other than just making sure that she was okay, making sure that I was okay, like, I think the emotional and mental part was the most difficult thing. Because, like, I get sick every year, like, you know, and while this one was, I think, definitely a little worse than what I'm used to, I get sick every year, and, like, you kind of get used to that. But, like, the emotional and the mental stuff of, like, hey, this could potentially kill one of us, you know what I mean? Like it could possibly do it. It was real serious. So, but I'm good. We're good now. And from what I can understand, we didn't spread it to anybody else, which is nice. So
that was going to be my next question: is when are you cleared for like not being a spreader anymore? I have no idea how that works.
So, the flu, like, is supposed to stick around for about 10 days, pretty much after, like, symptoms start. So I think 10 days would be next Friday for us, I think, after that. And I'll say that we already feel better. Like, we're not sick. Like, we're still congested and stuff, but we're not, you know, we don't have the body aches anymore or anything. But so I think by next Friday, we should be, as long as, you know, we don't get worse or anything like that, we should be
sure
to you know, be considered, you know, clear again, I guess. So
okay. Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, because, you know, now that I'm feeling better, I'm hoping next week we can get back to playing D&D. It'll still be digital, you know, over Skype or whatever, but you know, that I always hate whenever I have to cancel D&D for a sickness or whatever, but, you know, when you get the plague, it's you know, that I think you get a free pass. So,
for sure, we're living in the middle of a panoramic right now. So
absolutely, we're living at the heat of a Panda Express right now, and like we just have to keep going. You know what I mean?
That's a positive, man. I wish.
Yeah, right.
I wish, man.
That orange chicken, bruv.
Bro.
Hey, there's I just noticed, I don't even eat it that much, but I noticed because I'm driving a lot. Southport's Panda Express has a drive-thru.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Sure does.
Y'all ever seen that? That seems crazy to me.
It's the only Panda we eat at.
Right, yeah, because I guess
that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's that great, McDonald's, man. I never even realized it.
That McDonald's that's connected to a gas station is like one of the best McDonald's in the city, friends.
It
the
is. City.
So when the spicy nuggets and they had the extra hot sauce, that was the only place that I ever found the extra hot sauce.
Mm.
No other McDonald's I went to ever had it that whole time.
Yeah, man. That Southport and Emerson, everything around there is key. It is
for sure
on point. I did have a bunch of stories to talk about. I don't know about you guys.
So much. Yeah, I mean, there's so much. It's not notwithstanding the fact that we have been away for a couple weeks.
Right, of course.
On top of that, just this week alone was insane.
Yes, it was. It was. So I wanted to talk about this right up front because I believe these will be happening the day after this podcast comes out, as long as it comes out on Thursday, which I believe it should.
That's the plan, yep.
But the nominees for Game of the Year came out earlier this week, and I wanted to sort of talk about those.
Ooh, all right.
So here are your nominees for Game of the Year this year. Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Animal Crossing New Horizons, and The Last of Us Part II.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There were some major snubs there.
Definitely some major snubs. I think... So, if I'm just picking out some... just picking out a few games, I think, like... Fall Guys, even though it wasn't a huge thing for me, like it was a moment. Fall Guys probably deserves to be on here. I think even though Among Us came out, I think 2 years ago, it really had a pretty major resurgence this year.
For sure, yeah. And so
I think that's kind of getting overlooked. And then I think Valhalla probably is getting overlooked, especially considering that the past two Assassin's Creeds have been on the Game of the Year list.
Yeah, that's the one that really sticks out to me. And then what about Miles Morales?
And Miles Morales, yeah, too. I do know that Miles Morales is nominated for a couple of other things. I'm just scrolling down here. Let's see. Main character Najee Jeter is nominated as best performance as Miles Morales. Let's see, and I know I'm scrolling through these, but that's just because there's a lot to get through. But yeah, I don't think that Miles Morales. We haven't played it. I don't think any of us have played it. But from what I understand, it's pretty fantastic. I will say it is nominated for Best Action Adventure game, which is pretty cool. Also, I didn't realize this, but Jedi Fallen Order came out after the awards last year, and it is not nominated either. And I think that game is pretty fantastic as well. So,
yeah, I feel like it's good.
Rob, what do you think about these nominees, my dude?
I think it's okay this year.
Yeah,
I think it's more of a subpar year than normal.
I'll be honest, it's a letdown.
Yeah,
I think that Last of Us 2 will win. If it doesn't, I think the upset will be Animal Crossing, but I doubt it'll be Animal Crossing. It'll probably be a Last of Us 2, and I agree. I think it's really disappointing that, you know, I understand that there has to be a cutoff for Game of the Year, which is why games like Valhalla and Miles Morales didn't make it, but then they should be included in next year's Game of the Years. Jedi Fallen Order is my favorite single-player game of last generation, by far.
Yeah. And I will say Jedi Fallen Order was nominated for the Best Action-Adventure Game as well as Miles Morales, but I definitely think it deserves It deserves to be nominated. I don't think it would
100%.
Win, but I think that it would need to be nominated. I'll say, I think, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I have played 5 out of 6 of these games. Have you guys played any of the ones that are nominated?
4 out of 6.
I haven't played a single one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am with Rob. I think The Last of Us Part 2 is going to win. And rightfully so. I mean, it is a, in my opinion, I think it is a masterclass as far as video games go. And I think it, you know, moves the momentum of the genre in the best way possible. But I actually think that as far as impact goes, when it comes to video games this year, I think Animal Crossing probably deserves to win. It came out literally at the height of the pandemic when everyone was terrified and didn't know what to do. And we were all, I mean, it came out a month after lockdown. And I think that Animal Crossing has been a monumental moment for 2020. And not just to say, like, you know, from when it came out in the pandemic, but like, you don't see Joe Biden playing The Last of Us Part II. You know what I mean? And like, you don't see, you know, the Biden campaign playing Doom Eternal or whatever. But they did with Animal Crossing. I will say that Doom Eternal, I think, Doom Eternal does not deserve to be on this list whatsoever. But I do think the other games probably deserve it. But yeah, so I wanted to go through what you guys thought and like what you guys actually think will win. Yeah. So, Rob, I guess I heard from you. Warner, what do you think?
Having not played any of them, mm-hmm. I feel like you're on point with Animal Crossing. I think that's probably just because of the iconicness of the time that it came out, I think is going to be what pulls it through to win.
Yeah, and I think like The Last of Us Part II, while I think it is a better game overall, it is very divisive. I'll say that. Like, and I know that. Well, remind me. I know that you haven't played it, but Rob, did you actually play it and did you finish it?
I haven't played it yet.
Okay.
I know that it got a lot of heat for the ending.
Yeah, it got a lot of heat for the ending and some of the story choices that it makes. And I think, I think the story works, and I think it's a really well told story. And I really enjoyed playing it. I'll say this: I really enjoyed playing it. I will never play it again because it is a very intense game, and it's not a game that I'm going to like. I'm not going to crave to play that again. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, yeah.
Whereas Animal Crossing and Final Fantasy VII and Ghost of Tsushima, I get like hankerings to go back and play those games. I don't know. I think I
say this every year, but I don't feel like Final Fantasy VII Remastered should be on it, only because I don't think a remake should ever be on Game of the Year. I think it warrants, you know, winning some kind of award, but I don't think it should be a nomination for the Game of the Year because the actual game did not come out this year.
So, it is. See, I got to tiptoe around it because I don't want to spoil anything for you. it is not a beat for beat remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a little better.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Do you guys want me to talk about it, or do you want me to sort of just move past it and kind of leave it at that?
I'll take your word for it on that. I mean, I believe you. I think that we had a similar situation with Resident Evil 2 last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I understand it, especially if they change the story a little bit. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not making sense here. But I just feel like a game has its chance when it comes out. just tweaking the game a little bit, fixing the graphics and re-releasing it doesn't make it warrant Game of the Year again. But like you said, it's a different game a little bit. So,
Rob, can I? You're not. Are you going to play it, Rob?
What, Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I won't. This isn't a spoiler at all. I'll just talk about it. I'll use an analogy. I attribute Final Fantasy VII Remake, or sorry, I categorize Final Fantasy VII Remake in the same category that I would put the 2009 Star Trek movie in.
Okay. Well, that's different enough that I think it warrants getting a nomination then.
Exactly. Exactly.
I just didn't want like Star Wars Special Edition.
No. It is the name Remake is, it is in the title of the game for a reason. It is not a remake of an old game. It is remaking Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
So, and that is not a spoiler at all. Like it is an incredible experience. I'll say this, and we'll do our favorite games of this year, you know, probably at the beginning of next year, but it's going to be hard to beat for me as far as like my favorite game of the year so far. Final Fantasy VII Remake is a genuinely special game. So, well, we'll get off of video games for a little while. If you guys want to vote for any of these nominees, you can go to thegameawards.com/nominees. You do have to create an account, but it's free. You can do it pretty easily. And you guys can cast your vote there. So best of luck to all of the nominees. Why don't you give me one of your stories, dog?
Okay. Whew, okay. A lot of casting news came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about Doc Ock in Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
We've talked about a couple of different things, but one that stuck out to me was that they're remaking the Toxic Avenger.
Yes.
Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
Did you hear about this? Did you see this?
And we talked about it a little bit, right? So what did you think of the casting for the Toxic? Well, first of all, how much do you know about a Toxic Avenger?
Very little. I know, and I think I said this in the chat that, you know, no one else would have seen, but like, I know that it was made by, Troma. Thank you very much. It was made by Troma for basically no money. Like it was,
yes,
it was made very, very, very inexpensively. And it is campy to the point where it's just bad. Like it's supposed to be purposefully bad.
So. Yes. Yes. It is like disgusting too. Like, yeah. Grotesquely violent, but the violence is so like campy and over the top that it's funny. Like grotesquely sexual, just it's disgusting. So they're remaking this movie, but the part that is confusing to me about it, well, there's a couple of things. First of all, Lloyd Kaufman, who created the Toxic Avenger movies and Troma, is producing the movie. He's also got a directing credit somehow. He's not the main director of the reboot, but he does have some kind of, I don't know, he's got some credits in there for directing, and he's definitely been a producer on it, and he has a writing credit also. So it's not going to be too far off. But they cast Peter Dinklage as the main character.
Yeah. Which, I mean, for those of you that haven't watched, you know, the Toxic Avenger board, this is something that I do know, is that it's never been played by a smaller person. Like, it's always been, no. You know, has it been the same person? I don't even know. Like, I have no idea.
Yes, all four Toxic Avenger movies are the same guy.
Okay, gotcha.
And there's this joke in the movies and in the cartoon and everything, that he's a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength.
Right.
Like that's a line that people specifically say like mm-hmm. every time when they see him for the first time, and it's like that's a running gag. So my first inclination, or my first declination, if you will.
Jesus Christ. That yeah, that's all right, guys. We're gonna go ahead and end the podcast here for the night, I think.
First inclination is that they're gonna do some sort of CGI like they did with Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably not to the same quality.
Like, well, no. But I think there's I think they're gonna do something to make him a lot bigger. But I think they're gonna play off of that a little bit and like make that part of the fun of it and part of the humor.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the best way to go about it. Because, I mean, you know, Peter Dinklage was in Elf, and, you know, there's a lot of not super kosher jokes about, you know,
right.
Little people in that. And he seems to be sort of not okay with it. But, like, he's, you know, he seems to be okay joking about that kind of a stuff. So, like, you can only assume that they'll probably mention it or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how it all plays out. I am all for it. I think the movie's going to be fun. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, I'm interested. I've never seen any of the Toxic Avenger movies, but I'm
You're
definitely
not missing anything.
Oh, got them.
They're tough to stomach. I'll be that's for sure.
That's probably not
the tagline. It's tough to stomach.
The fourth one. Is Toxie has to save a special ed school from a terrorist attack.
Okay.
And in stopping the bomb, him and an alternate reality Toxie switch places, and he gets sent to another dimension where the Nazis won. And the Nazi Toxic Avenger gets sent to this world. His name is Noxie. And, yep. And...
Okay.
And nobody can understand why Toxie is all of a sudden just a jerk.
Does he speak in a stereotypical, like, German accent?
Nope. He just sounds like Toxie.
Gotcha.
But he just is super racist and a Nazi, so it's pretty rough, man.
So what was that
Ron
movie?
Ron Jeremy is in it. He plays the mayor of Tromaville.
Oh, cool. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So what was that movie? It was an early Peter Jackson movie that you made me watch, where I remember just a part in the climax. The main character takes like a push mower or whatever and like cuts up a bunch of zombies.
Dead Alive is one of my favorite movies of all time, so
that movie legitimately almost made me fucking vomit, and I just I wanted to be cool in front of you and Josh Hendrickson, and I was just like, oh god.
If that made you ill, you could not watch any of the Toxic Avenger movies. They're 1,000 times worse and so disgusting. But I digress. I think this reboot is going to play with that a little bit. I think it's going to be a little more tame. I think technically all of the Toxic Avenger movies are rated NC-17. I think that this one will be rated R and just, you know, be within the realm of, you know, watchable.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Well, it's got a budget behind it, so, you know, why not, right?
So did that Gerard Butler Egyptian Gods movie, but fucking here we are.
What movie was that? Hold on.
I think it was literally Gods of Egypt, wasn't it?
Maybe.
I think it's called Exodus Gods of Egypt, right?
Hold on. I'm using.
Because it was
Google.
Trying to be like a Moses movie or something.
Yeah, it was Gods of Egypt is what it's called. Came out in 2016. rated PG-13. IMDb has it as a 5.4 out of 10, 15% on Rotten Tomatoes with a 25% Metacritic score.
That's probably generous too, to it be honest. Is. Oh man.
Let's see.
And it had Nicola Coster-Waldau.
Yep, yep.
And and the late Chadwick Boseman was in it as well.
That's true. And
oh no, really?
How do you fuck that up?
And the late Jeffrey Rush is also.
Is he?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, he is. He's raw.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Which, you know, a white English man is raw, you know. It makes sense for sure.
Oh boy.
Okay. So hey. Yeah. Hey, do you boys know what comes out in 2 days?
Yes.
I'm super stoked.
Is it actually happening this time?
Yeah, well, this is the closest we've been so far.
Is it them little Christmas tree cakes?
Very good. No, I believe those are out already. Those came out.
Those are already out, my guy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fake news.
You can get those click listed, dude.
I think that's fake news, my guy.
Yeah, brother. Cyberpunk 2077 comes out.
Yes.
Or it's supposed to come out. They did.
I know very little about this game. I'm just very excited. I know one thing I know about it for sure is I'm excited about it.
Good. That's awesome. That's
need
awesome.
Need to get them.
So it's my most anticipated game of the year, and I know that you guys are really excited about it. But there is a report coming from Polygon.com, written by Nicole Carpenter, that there's a report that Cyberpunk 2077, some sequences may cause seizures for players with epilepsy. She writes, people sensitive to epileptic triggers. Okay, you got it. Okay, buddy. All right. We got it. Apparently, he's not going to let me read it. He's super stoked about Cyberpunk also. He's trying to tell me all about it.
So, fill me in here. It's a open world, yes?
Correct.
Okay. Is it like an online multiplayer?
No.
No, it is a single player only.
Correct. Okay.
It's made by the people who made The Witcher.
Yes.
Okay.
So, there is a... getting back to my story now that my dog has stopped being a total dick. Game Informer posted a PSA today, written by Liana Ruppert, possibly, detailing her experience playing CD Projekt Red's new blockbuster title. Ruppert said she has seizures and experienced a serious one while playing Cyberpunk 2077, specifically triggered by a prominent feature in the game, Brain Dance. Now, for those of you who don't know much about this game, you know, if you've been trying to sort of keep out of, keep away from spoilers and all that, think of Brain Dance as sort of a detective mode from the Arkham video game series, just a little bit more advanced.
Okay.
Did you play any of those?
Wiener? Yeah, okay. I played all those.
But apparently it's a possibility that you could suffer a seizure, so... be careful while you're playing it, but it does sound like the game is going to include a seizure warning, which is good, and there's a possibility of a patch later that they will sort of tone down this this portion of it to make it a little bit easier for people to play. So
I feel like I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but I feel like that's a legitimate concern with just about any video game.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I think a lot of video games sort of use as a narrative device, you know, sort of like seizure-inducing scenes, or you know what I mean. Like, I don't suffer from epileptic seizures or anything like that, but you know, I do know that flashing lights is definitely something that can trigger them. And that seems to be sort of a trope that some video games are using, which is upsetting. So, yeah.
I think it's always been something that they've used. Like, I don't think it's new to this generation. Video games have always kind of been... I'm having such a hard time with my camera right now.
I was going to say.
Video games have always kind of had... some kind of just the very idea of video games is just quickly moving lights, essentially. So you're going to have that with just about any video game.
Well,
especially when the not so much when the frame rate is getting better, but those early, especially the earlier, like when you got into those first, like PlayStation and Xbox generation, you know, the first generation of those consoles, I think there was way more of that then, because it's like so the movement is so stuttered and so blocky, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, but just to kind of like clarify, this is kind of like a more specific thing with Cyberpunk.
Right.
I don't know if you read the article.
Specific feature of the game.
Correct. So
yeah, this correct. Yeah,
this brand dance feature, it is almost like a carbon copy. Like the way that it emulates, apparently, it's like a carbon copy of the thing that doctors use to medically induce seizures to see if someone has epilepsy, which is the problem.
That's just a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. This isn't like, hey, there's a couple random flashing lights that might cause a seizure. Apparently, this is like almost exactly like the medical tool that doctors use to induce seizures. Wow. And there's no warning for it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And from what I understand, it's a integral part to the actual story. Like you cannot beat the game without doing this part.
And like if you are prone to having seizures from epilepsy, this is like epileptic kryptonite. It's like the worst thing that could, I mean, it's like guaranteed you're having a seizure.
Now that is a bad design.
Yeah. Very bad.
That's
they're working on it.
Yeah, they're working on it.
I don't know how I messed that up that bad.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah. No joke. And I think that's going to be one of those things that's a pretty major, like, that's not a day one patch that you can fix, you know, or whatever.
No.
Like that's going to be a major patch that they're going to have to do. So, speaking of, this isn't a story that I pulled, but I apologize that I haven't been able to play Call of Duty with you guys. My Call of Duty has still not been patched, so I can't play Call of Duty for more than like 10 minutes without it just totally kicking me off of my system. So
I have
really
turned your console off.
Yeah,
it turns your console off completely.
Yeah, but turns my console off completely.
So I have the same problem, but with single player. So I'll get about 15 minutes into the campaign on single player. And then the game will freeze.
Yep.
And then my Xbox completely turns off.
Yep. And then you can't start it with your controller. You have to go up and push the Xbox.
You have to get up and press
what?
Yep. That's exactly.
I have not experienced this at all.
I can't play the campaign in Call of Duty at all.
Yep.
What is going on?
It's real bad.
Yep. And it's been out for 2 weeks now, and there's been nothing. So, yeah, man. So that I did want to bring that up just kind of to apologize to you guys that I'm not dodging you or anything. I just...
No, you're good, man. I haven't been on a whole lot. Have you, anybody had any luck with PS5? Anybody?
Nope. not me.
No, sure. I'm not getting a PS5 until probably April.
Oh, yeah, man. That was not my intention, though. I had planned on trying to get one around Christmas. Not going to happen. I don't see any world in which it just doesn't seem like it's even a thing that's out yet.
Yeah, every time that they've gotten restocks or whatever, I've attempted to purchase one. The last one was on, I think, Black Friday, I think.
I tried on Black Friday.
And Walmart was sold out within 30 seconds. And that's not hyperbolic. Insane. It was 30 seconds. So
yeah, that's messed up, man.
Do you have another story, sir?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's see here. Okay. Netflix is working on a multi-part documentary about Vince McMahon. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
There's nothing about casting or if it's going to be like straight up just found footage. no real indication there at all of what it's going to be, but I'm interested.
I'm interested, but if so, here's my thing that I kind of want to mention. So I recently watched The Last Dance, which is the Michael Jordan documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And whether you are a basketball fan or not, I definitely recommend you watching the documentary series. It's only 6 episodes. They're an hour long, super, super quick. But it is it's a study into the mind of someone who wants to succeed no matter what.
Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes that kind of labels them as, you know, not such a nice person, you know, or like they come across sure, as not such sure. a nice person. And what I'm meaning by bringing this up is if they do this documentary series about Vince McMahon, it cannot be a fluff like, oh, this guy has just been the greatest dude since sliced bread. Like, no. You need to.
It needs to be the reality.
It needs to be the reality that Vincent Kennedy McMahon is not a nice guy. Like, he's just not.
No.
He's a successful man. And he's
for sure.
And he's a when it comes to the entertainment business, the wrestling entertainment business, he's a genius, or at least he was back then. Now he's making some pretty shitty decisions, but but like I just hope that they are actual or they are factual with their reporting, I guess.
Sure.
Who would play him though? I wonder.
I don't even know.
If it were a fictionalized series, I mean, obviously,
I think this is mostly going to be like interviews and stuff. I think for the most part.
Yeah.
But most of those documentaries they do like reenactments and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some sort of somebody playing him.
I mean, if they do interview stuff like. Look at most of his interviews. Like, he's a psychopath. Like, he's not a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a psychopath. But, that's really interesting, though. I mean, I would definitely watch it, for sure. Do you think they'll sneak in some mob stuff, that he just breaks people's legs and stuff like that?
They've got to. They've got to, right?
That's
part of the whole, like, Ultimate Warrior, when he left the first time, like Hulk Hogan threatened to break his legs if he ever came. Like, that's a legit thing that happened back then.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I have no doubt that's got to be in there.
Possibility that he, helped Jimmy Snuka get away with murder.
So someone tell that story for real. I mean, Vice did, but
Right, of course.
More wrestling news. I've just got a little run of it here. So Sting's deal, he signed with AEW. It's a multi-year deal, and it's not to be... Now, there's no notation that he's wrestling, but there's nothing saying he's not going to wrestle. But it does say that it's not going to be like his WWE deal where it's like, twice a year Sting's on TV.
Right.
He's going to be like regularly a part of the show for a while. My hope is that they use him kind of like. Do you remember when Undertaker had the Ministry of Darkness? Is in like the late 90s.
Vaguely, yeah.
Okay. Undertaker had like several minions that ended up being big stars eventually, but they never. None of them, like, they did a lot of the wrestling, and Undertaker was more kind of for storytelling. He didn't wrestle a ton back then, but he always had a segment on Raw or whatever, or SmackDown, where like something would happen with Undertaker and his minions. That's what I hope they do with Sting in this. Like,
yeah,
don't make. I mean, I love Sting to death. Don't make him wrestle, please. Just give him like some storytelling dynamic where he's kind of like building some kind of mysterious faction and like he's sending them out to do things and he's like kind of the mouthpiece for them or whatever. But I can't take another one like that 2015 buckle bomb.
So remind me, were you at that WrestleMania?
No, that was at Night of Champions. We were watching it at my house though.
Is that right?
At WrestleMania, we watched WrestleMania at my house, and Triple H beat him.
But it was a good match.
It was a good match, and he didn't get hurt. He just got beat, and I was kind of miffed at that. But then that's when Seth Rollins cashed in and won the title, so we all got over it pretty quick.
Right, of course. Yeah. That's right, because that was the year that NWO came out to help him for no reason, even though he was actively against NWO, you know.
Yes. It didn't make any sense. It's just WCW versus WWF, whatever.
Right.
But then he had a tag match on Raw with Cena, and they won. And then nothing for like months and months and months. And then he showed up for that package with Rollins. And their back and forth was really great. The buildup was awesome. And then that match was great until Sting literally just
died. Right.
He took that one bad buckle bomb, and then he like tries to stand up and he just falls flat on his face. And you're like, oh, this man is hurt.
Yeah. Didn't you say like you could see his like arm shaking or something like that? Like
he's like shaking his hands because he can't feel them. I've watched multiple interviews with him where he talks about it. He still thinks, and no pun intended, this is what they're called in wrestling. He's still convinced, and this is why I'm worried they're going to let him wrestle, because he's like, I'm fine. He's convinced it was just a stinger. Like that, where like you take a bad bump, something happens, that you're like, oh, this is terrible. And then it was just like your body reacting. You're fine.
Sure.
That happens to guys. It's just a nerve thing. Like your body's like, oh, that wasn't good. You know, something pops and you're like, oh, that's bad. And then it goes back in place. He's convinced that's what it is. And I just don't take that risk is my thought. I don't know.
It's just not worth it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Also, speaking of WCW, apparently there was like a resurgence for WCW on Twitter not too long ago. I deactivated my Twitter, so I can't look it up. But I'm sorry for bringing that up, because it was something interesting where like they had thought that they bought the rights to WCW, but it didn't happen. It could have been a totally parody thing, but I could have sworn that it was real.
All I know is, okay, so then the other thing I was going to say that has to do with wrestling is that they're now, AEW is going to cross over with Impact for a little bit here. Mm-hmm. In that, like, Kenny Omega, who is the AEW champion right now, is going to be on Impact tonight, as well as we're recording this. And the complaint with Sting showing up and, you know, that little Impact in AEW thing, everyone keeps saying like, oh, this is just, it's cool what they're doing, but it's just WCW. Okay, that's fine to me, because in its heyday, WCW was my favorite.
Right, of course. And
so I think that's the thing, that like the fans that are saying that as a negative thing don't realize that there are fans out there that want that.
Right.
So my thing is that people complain about that, but there's a good chunk of fans that want that. I mean, we don't want it to be WWE.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of AEW, right? Like,
right.
People wanted something different. They wanted something different, especially in America. Because, I mean, you had the different... like you had the different style in Japan within NJPW, but like, as far as America goes, you had Impact, and you know, no offense to Impact at all, but like it wasn't a competitor. It wasn't a genuine competitor for WWE. And so that's why AEW started. And I think that AEW's done a really excellent job of going on 2 years now.
Yeah. We're almost at 2 years.
Of really sort of making a stamp and like, being different from WWE, I really do. Even though, like, I make the joke that, you know, they do have a lot of ex-WWE/ex-WCW wrestlers coming over, but like, yeah, like, because that's...
But they use them all so differently. That's the thing.
Right, right. I will say, though, Rusev, or Miro, is his real name. I really hate his character.
It's so do you
bad.
Really?
It's so bad. It's so stupid.
I've really liked it. I think he's just like a bro.
Yeah, yeah. But I do like how different he is from the Rusev character that he had in WWE. And I like that he's getting, you know, he's actually getting time, which is really nice. So, I have a couple of other stories here. I don't know if
go for it. That's mostly all I have. If anything, if I remember anything while you're going, I'll chime in. But I think that's all I got.
So I've got, it does seem like there's a little bit of controversy coming from Disney over these past few weeks. Two major cases. The Mandalorian fan, the Mandalorian star, Gina Carano, is being asked to leave her... her spot on the Mandalorian series of Cara Dune for some sort of off-color remarks and supports that she's been making. Ben Arnold at Yahoo Life wrote an article about it. Basically, it all started on November 5th, so 2 days after the election day, where she basically was, claiming that there was voter fraud in 2020,
sure.
Which obviously, you know, has been proven wrong. Like that, there wasn't any voter fraud. But she kind of continues with that, and then after that, it looks like a couple days later, on November 15th, she tweeted out, "In a world where everyone wears a mask, it's a privilege to see a soul." Basically, you know, saying that she is anti-mask. Which is, as we previously stated, pretty stupid. And then even after that, she tweeted out Democratic. It's a meme, but it's Democratic government leaders now recommends we all wear blindfolds along with masks so we can't see what's really going on. And then she apparently followed that up by creating a Parler account and sort of. Asking for all of her friends to go and speak to her on Parler. So, first and foremost, coming from someone who had COVID because of an anti-masker, wear a mask.
Correct.
You can have whatever political beliefs you want. Saving people's lives and being safe is not a political statement. It is not only if you are against masks. Not only are you just dumb, but you're also you're really dangerous, and not in like a, you know, not in a cool way that you're dangerous, in a like a like a dangerous or danger to society sort of a thing. So
that being said, can I just say I don't think anyone should be fired for their political views.
I think
that's a little too far. Had she said something that was like blatantly racist or like homophobic or something like that, then that's one thing. But she literally is just, I don't agree with her. She's kind of dumb on some stuff. Right. But I feel like we're towing a line here with her getting like essentially fired from this job because of that. Like, It's the same thing. Same thing with Tim Allen. You know, like, I don't agree with the guy. I don't give two craps about Michigan, but that's like, he doesn't need to stop acting because of that, because his political views. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up, is because I'm with you in that for having political beliefs, you know, whether it's similar to how I feel about stuff or whatever, I don't think that you should lose your job because of your political beliefs. What I will say, though, especially, you know, even in the instance of Disney, you've got, you know, people of color like John Boyega and Kelly Marie Tran, who were viciously attacked by racists and sexist people and, you know, just a ton of shit thrown their way. And because of that, their roles were in, you know, Star Wars movies.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Disney. I don't agree with Disney on that either.
Definitely.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, well, that's a very good point you make, actually. I hadn't really thought about that. But, like, Disney has already set this precedent that, like, if they get any discomfort at all from anyone, they're going to be like, all right, we're cutting this down.
I mean,
which, it's too much. It's too far. It's just, they got to get it under control. Just be like, listen, like, for example, Dad. Warner Brothers, did you get out of here, bud?
No, wait.
There's a camera here.
I broke my middle finger.
Okay, we'll go upstairs. We'll fix it later. He says he broke his middle finger as he comes down here naked on the camera.
I see that. Yeah.
It's kind of like the whole Amber Heard and Johnny Depp thing.
Yeah.
Dude, both of them are a mess. I don't know which one's worse. I don't care to know. I don't want to get involved in any of that.
Right.
But you Warner Brothers has a completely inconsistent difference there. Whereas like Disney is consistent, albeit wrong, but consistent in that they're just like, we don't want any trouble. Doesn't care. We don't care what happens. If people complain about you, you're out.
Right, exactly.
Warner Brothers has now fired Johnny Depp and replaced him. There's a good around the net for you. Mads Mikkelsen is going to be playing whatever that bad wizard's name is.
Grindelwald.
Yeah, Grindelwald. That's the one.
How dare you?
Which I love him as an actor. That's great. But again, the situation is crazy. Like Johnny Depp gets fired as Grindelwald in a Warner Brothers movie, and then Amber Heard not fired as Mira in a Warner Brothers movie.
Correct.
Full disclosure, I don't know enough about their personal lives to pick one or the other or any of that. I don't think either one of them should have been fired for it. It's like, you know what? Get your stuff together. Figure it out. You guys are adults and you need to figure out what's wrong with yourselves and each other. But again, this is where like the Disney has a consistency where they overdo it, but they overdo it with everyone.
Right.
Whereas Warner Brothers is picking and choosing, and you can't do that. That's not an option.
Yeah, I mean, in the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, like they're both extremely toxic people, and I think.
Oh yes.
I think it should have been both or neither, like you said. But
yeah, exactly.
And in this instance, I mean, she's not saying like, hey, you know, I don't think black people should be able to have children or whatever. Like, she's not being super racist or anything, but she's definitely saying ignorant and dangerous shit. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
But again, it's just, it's this whole thing. And it's just like, if she didn't have a Twitter, if Twitter didn't exist, for example, there would be like, no one would even know.
Right.
Because she's not going on talk shows and saying, I don't really care about masks. You know, right. I'm Gina Carino. I'm super buff and 8 feet tall. So, you know,
and you can't teach that, right?
Yeah. Exactly. But she's just, because she has a Twitter and it's like, I don't know. I feel like we're going to get hate for this regardless of which side we're on it.
It continued on because to sort of kind of keep moving on. But Letitia Wright, she the star of Black Panther and an upcoming
Small
Axe.
I saw this.
She plays Suri in Black Panther, by the way. Deadline article by Alexandra Del Rosario. Basically reports that Letitia Wright had to delete her social media accounts after she had tweeted some anti-vax stuff. the now deleted tweet.
I saw this.
The now deleted tweet says, if you don't conform to popular opinions, but ask questions and think for yourself, ellipses, you get canceled. And then she also tweeted a, I believe it was like a 70 minute long YouTube video by a coronavirus vaccine skeptic that also included some anti-transphobic comments. Or not, sorry, not anti-transphobic, some anti-trans comments, transphobic comments. So,
sure.
And she since deleted all of her social media, which, gotta be honest, girl, it's probably a good idea.
Should have done that first thing.
Should have done that first thing.
So again, on the on the anti-vax thing, I've already made it clear, I'm going to get this vaccination. I totally disagree with it. But again, not necessarily a reason to fire an actor or an actress. I don't. You know what I mean? Like, it's whatever.
It is your choice whether or not you get this vaccine or not. However,
exactly.
However, it is an incredibly unsafe thing to not get a vaccine. Like, that is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's the thing where I'm just like, where's the line? Again, I didn't know about the transphobic thing.
Yeah, the transphobic stuff. That's a bad look. Bad look.
But I don't know. It's the whole thing is frustrating. I wish there was a consistency where we could just be like, these are the things you cannot say. These are the things you can or whatever. But I don't know. It's just too difficult to figure out. But if you fire Gina Carino because she doesn't like masks on Twitter, then you've got to find everyone that's the same, like, that's saying those things, and they all have to be fired. Does that make sense?
Yep, for sure. No, I completely agree. I think it's a basic misunderstanding of how much power celebrities wield. Like, you should absolutely be able to have your own political or views otherwise, but you need to understand that your voice, when it comes to social media, it comes with a lot of weight and it comes with a lot of baggage. And so if you tell people, you know, like, I don't know, some 30-year-old balding troglodyte dude or whatever, like, hey, masks aren't cool. And if you wear a mask, you're not cool and I don't like you. Like, that dude might be like, yeah, you know what? Because Gina Carano told me that I'm not, you know, I won't be cool. Like, they need to realize that, like, and I'm not for censorship. You should be able to say whatever you want, but you should also understand the consequences that come with those actions and with that freedom of speech.
Oh, Star Wars fans are the most dangerous and most toxic. Let it be known. They, like, whatever information they cling to, they're going to cling to without wavering. And it's infuriating.
Yep, absolutely.
I thought Grogu was gonna get canceled for eating them eggs, you know?
That was the dumbest thing. Like,
I've never been so frustrated with somebody else's anger as much as I was in that moment. I was like, I don't. What's the problem here?
Did you see this, Rob?
Yeah, that's some. First of all, if we're just going to talk about that episode in general, that was some Sith shit right there.
Yeah, dude.
He was going to, and he knew he had been corrected by the Mandalorian. And he was like, I don't give a hot fuck. I'm put him in a bowl of grapes, eat him up, be happy to do it. He didn't give a hot fuck.
And let's not forget, that's the last of that species. That's
some dark side shit, man. That's some tiny little green Palpatine bullshit he pulled.
And I know you can say, oh, he's a baby. He's 50 years old, guys. Right. This is canonically, he's 50 years old.
Right. He's like two birthdays away from retirement, my guy. He's already getting like the pre-AARP letters in the mail. You know what I'm saying? They're already coming.
That galactic social security is about to start, you know,
bro.
I posted. Speaking of weird things to post on social media, I posted a couple weeks back that, like, I'm sick of hiding it. I enjoy everything Star Wars. They're not perfect, but I love all of Star Wars. And I said, nothing you say can convince me otherwise. And I still had people commenting on there about why I shouldn't like certain Star Wars movies. And I was like, come on. I prefaced this with, I don't care about your opinion, and I'm going to stop worrying about it because I just love Star Wars and I enjoy it all. And as a Star Wars fan, you can't, like, other Star Wars fans can't just let you enjoy it. And that's infuriating to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I was looking at a an article today, actually, because Taika Waititi had directed the new Xbox commercial that introduced a Master Chief and a cat mashup. So it was Master Chief but with a cat's head, and it was called Meowster Chief, which is really cool.
Of course. That's clever.
It's super clever. Well, the first comment is, this commercial is better than any exclusive that Xbox has right now. And I'm just like, why can't you let people enjoy things? Like, I don't understand what you're coming or where you're coming from. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Because they're annoying.
Because they're annoying. And they have to be heard, right? They have to. Yeah. They have that I can never say anonymity. That they can be anonymous on the internet. You know what I mean?
Well, they think they're so cool.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. What was that? What are you laughing at?
I said they have to be hominy. Like that real trash vegetable.
That's right, yeah. I can't say... How do you say... Is it the... To be anonymous on the internet. What is that word? The
anonymity.
Anonymity. I can't say that word. Sorry. Sorry, guys. I'm a 31-year-old man.
It's where clownfish live.
Right. Just think anemone, but with a little pizzazz, with a little on it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'll think of the anemonymity. I'll think of the Muppet song, but like, you know, attitude.
There you go.
Anemone.
Yeah, you got it.
An enemy. I can't even say it now.
I know, right? It's a super stupid word. Anyway.
Well, I think we're getting toward the end anyway here, aren't we?
Yep. That was all that I had to talk about. I gotta say, I don't think there's gonna be a Christmas episode this year. I know we usually do like a little skit or whatever, but it's probably not gonna happen this year.
No. It's not gonna be the same. It'd be tough to pull off. We'll just, we normally do our gift exchange thing, and there's not really a good way to do that right now. And
it's whatever. Yeah, but, we're trying to be a little bit more consistent with this podcast, and I appreciate you guys sticking with it. I know that the boys really appreciate it as much as I do. So we will see you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow us on, or like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter if you'd like. Make sure to leave.
I mean, what's the point anymore? Twitter just gets you everybody in trouble.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, please do.
You can listen to more Warner on his new podcast.
Yeah, The Honeymoon's Over. Mm. And that's just me and my wife arguing for whatever and trying to give people advice because we've known each other for a long time. It's fun. Yeah. It's a good time. There's a lot of stuff about parenting, which I mean, my child just walked down here naked in front of a webcam to tell me that he thinks he broke his finger. So, I mean, I'm definitely not some A+ parent for sure. Yeah. But I've got some ideas. So there's that. So you can listen to that. And And then also for this podcast, if you're listening to Nerd Management on Apple Podcasts, click the little purple link and write us a review. Give us 5 stars. Just say something. You have to say something. You can type the word anonymity if you want. It doesn't matter. There just has to be something typed there for the review to count. I'm learning all these things now. But give us a 5-star review. Helps us out. Bumps us up the list. And more people will see us. So. We appreciate it.
We love you all very much. Take care of yourselves and each other. Remember to wear a mask first and foremost.
Yep. Yep.
But always remember to have a good time.
Warner Slopes, $2. Thank you.